Jeremiah chapter 42. In the previous chapters before this, we see that there's a man named Ishmael, and he brings a group of men, and a lot of the nation of Israel has already been taken into captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar has set a man, his name is, I'm going to pronounce it, Gedaliah. I'm going to look at it, Gedaliah. He has put him over Israel, and really Gedaliah, he's a pretty decent guy from everything I've read about him in the Bible. He's pretty fair, he's good to the children of Israel, and he's good to Jeremiah the prophet. But Ishmael, and he has some men, and they come, and they basically assassinate Gedaliah. And so when some other people hear about this, Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces, they hear about it, and they gather all their forces together, and they go, and they try to catch up with Ishmael and the men that killed Gedaliah. And so when they finally catch up with them, Ishmael ends up escaping. And we're going to pick it up in chapter number 42, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Korea, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you, behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with thee when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you, and not pull you down, and I will plant you, and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, and that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, We will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, As mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Let's pray. I want to teach a lesson this morning. Father, I do love you this morning, and I thank you for just the time that we spent in your word, and Lord, thank you for just the time that we can walk with you every morning and meet with you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we look at just something, another truth out of your word, Lord, that we would be able to comprehend it. Help me to be able to present it clearly. And Lord, help me only say what I should say. And Father, I thank you just for the health that you give us to be here. And Lord, I pray for those that aren't able to be with us today. Lord, help us be good witnesses wherever we go. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Help the other classes that are going on. Help Pastor as he preaches later this morning. Pray that you just be honored in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, Jeremiah, the people come to Jeremiah and they say, Jeremiah, go to God and ask God what he wants us to do. And, you know, that's very typical, you know. They're basically going to Jeremiah for counsel, okay? And it's funny, this, you say, well, that's an Old Testament story. Well, it happens all the time in today, okay? And we have people that, you know, they go to the pastor and they want counsel, okay? And they say, we'll do whatever you tell us to do. And so that's basically what Johanan and the forces, they go to Jeremiah and they say, Jeremiah, go to God, and whatever God tells you to tell us, we will obey it and we'll do it. So Jeremiah goes to God, and God says, if you'll stay in the land of Israel, if you'll stay here, even though you're under the king of Babylon, if you'll stay here, if you look at verse number 10, the Bible says, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. So God says, if you'll stay here, if you'll do what you're supposed to do and you obey me and you'll stay here, I'll bless you. I'll make you prosperous. I'll make you your prosperity to grow. And he says, but if ye say, verse number 13, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt. Now, this is kind of where we're going to pull the lesson this morning. We will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now, where did God bring the children of Israel out of? Egypt. So they're wanting to go back to Egypt, okay? They're wanting to leave the land of blessing, the land of promise, the will of God, and they're wanting to go back to the world. Why? Because they're afraid of what the will of God has in store for them. Does that make sense? Okay? So they're wanting to go back to the world because they're afraid of what the will of God has in store for them. Right now, they are in the will of God. Okay, they are where God wants them to be, because in verse number 10, if ye will still abide. So if you'll stay in the will of God, there will be blessings. I'll build you. I'll make you prosperous. But if you leave and you want to go back to the world, the things that you fear that will happen to you in the will of God will happen to you in the world. Okay, now I hope I hope that was clear as I rambled through all that. But God basically just told him, if the things that you fear, you know, sometimes we have fear in the will of God, and most of the time it's a fear of the unknown. You think about the things that children of Israel have just been through, okay? They've experienced famine, okay? They were just under siege by the king of Babylon. They've experienced famine. The city was broken up. They didn't have food in the city, okay? They were afraid of the sword. They were afraid of the sound of the trumpet. And they're saying, okay, all this stuff has happened to us while we're still right here in the will of God. Now, were they in the perfect will of God as far as were they obeying God and were they honoring God? No, they weren't. But they were still in the land of Egypt. They were still in the land of promise. And so they're like, well, we don't want to stay here because we're afraid that there's going to be hardship in the will of God. That's basically what they're saying. We don't want to stay here because of the hard things that will happen while we're here in the land of Egypt. Or, I'm sorry, in the land of Israel. So we don't want to stay here because we're afraid of what God's going to ask us to go through. Now that's very true. You know, hey, I've been there before. Sometimes it's like, man, I don't know if the Christian lifestyle is cut out to all. Well, it's, you know, all everybody. It's not all beds of roses. It's not. Okay? being in the will of God's not always the most enjoyable thing for us to go through. Okay? But God says here, hey, if you leave the will of God and you go back to Egypt, the things that you feared in the will of God will happen to you. It's not, God didn't say that they're going to have famine. God didn't say they're going to have the sword. God didn't say they're going to have the trumpet. He said, they said, we're afraid of that. We don't want to stay here. And so God said, if you're afraid of that, then that's what I'm going to bring you to. You know, it's interesting. God always brings us as Christians. God will always bring us to where we have to make a choice. And we say, well, we're going to postpone that. And God will bring it back to us. You know, God will always bring something to us. And, you know, if God asks us for something, he will always bring that back to us until we have to make a choice. Well, I don't want to go there because I'm afraid of the sword. Well, God will bring it back to you later where you have to make a choice again. And God will bring it back to you later where you have to make a choice again. And God will bring it. And you know, eventually God doesn't give you a choice anymore. God will take it from you. And you know, living in the will of God, it's much easier to give God. Well, I'm afraid, I don't want to, and I'm going to illustrate this. This is illustrated several times in the Bible. But they didn't want to stay in the will of God. They didn't want to give up what was theirs. Okay? They wanted to go to Egypt where they felt secure. And I think as American Christians particularly, you know, we're in love with our money. And we're afraid, you know, we don't want to go here because how would we provide for ourselves? Well, maybe that's God's job. Maybe that's not my job. Okay, if I'm a child of God, it doesn't matter where God asked me to go. I just need to do it. Well, I'm afraid of the war. I'm afraid of the famine. I'm afraid of the trumpet. Well, it's not my job for me to take care of myself. It's God's job for him to take care of me. So whatever he asked me to do, I need to do it. And we'll see here that the children of Israel, they decided to go to Egypt. They said, we're not staying here. We can't stay here. It's going to cost our families too much to stay here. Well, you want to talk about cost? What happened to them in the land of Egypt? Okay? What happened to the land of Egypt? God has a way of making decisions come back that we postpone until we are forced to choose. What are we holding on to that God has asked for repeatedly? I want to use some illustrations here. And we're going to go through several illustrations here that God, you know, living in the will of God is not always the most pleasant thing, but it's the best thing. Okay? It's the best thing. What are we holding on to that God has asked for us repeatedly? Well, I just want the security of Egypt. I want the financial security. I want the, you know, the ease of life of living in Egypt. Well, it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. Let's go to Exodus chapter 5. Obviously, Israel didn't learn their lesson, which I can't really blame them. Most of us don't learn our lesson either, myself included. It kills me, though, and I just know some things, but, you know, people go to pastors across America, and I've heard it at conferences, I've heard it all over. Well, you know, people go to the pastor and say, well, pastor, what should I do with my life? Okay? So the pastor gives them some godly advice, and then they go against the advice that the pastor just gave them, and they expect that everything's going to turn out great. It's not. If you're not willing to give up some things, life's not going to be the way that you want it to be. Exodus chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Bible says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Okay? So Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh, and this is just another story, another illustration. Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh, and they say, all right, you need to let these people go. This is the will of God. You know, you say, Brother Chad, does God have a will for unsaved people? Yes, I think so. I think it's proven in the Bible that God uses unsaved people to accomplish his will. It's proven over and over. What's Nebuchadnezzar? A worldly man that was used by God to accomplish his will. Okay? So, Pharaoh here, basically Moses and Aaron come into Pharaoh and say, this is God's will for your life. Let my people go. And so we see time after time, how many times? All the plagues, you would think he'd get the message at some point. Hey, let my people go. This is what you need to do to stay in God's will. And he's presented with, this is the choice that Pharaoh here is presented with. This is the option that Pharaoh is presented with. Let my people go. You know, and there's some things in life that we need to let go of. Maybe God's asked us to let go of something. We need to let this go. And he's presented with that choice. And then I'm not going to go, we can go through the next several chapters. How many, you know, let my people go. No. Let my people go. You know, the lice and the frogs and the flies and all that stuff. Let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. And finally, his son, his firstborn, his son gets killed. Okay? But it's interesting. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter number 14. So he finally, okay, I'm going to let them go. Finally, after all that, it cost him. Listen, remember how the Bible said that if they go to Egypt? Now, this is a different time frame. I want you to understand. I'm not tying these two time frames together. This is a completely different time frame. But when God said, if you go to Egypt, you'll hear, you'll have famine, you'll have sword, you'll hear the sound of the trumpet. Well, you know, you think about the economic disaster that just happened in Egypt as a result of Pharaoh refusing to obey the will of God. Everything's wiped out. Their whole economic substructure is demolished. All their food probably for a year. You know what that means? There's famine there. Because he wasn't in the will of God. Okay? He didn't obey the will of God. So he finally lets the people go in chapter number 13. And then chapter number 14, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea, which is an interesting, that's a whole interesting study right there by itself. But Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. Let me stop right here and just say, my decision and your decision to not stay in the will of God doesn't just affect you. What about all these, you know, 600 chosen chariots? So he had to have 1,200 men at least in chariots. What about those men? What about their wives? What about their children? Plus all the chariots of Egypt, which I don't know how many that is, and captains over every one of them. So what about all those guys? Because Pharaoh says, I'm not willing to let this go. This is too good of an economic, you know, I've got, whatever, a million slaves, and I just let them all go. Yeah, this is too good of an economic, you know, thing for me. I can't let this go. And God said, you need to let that go. No, I can't let this go. Fine, I'll take your son. Okay, I'll let him go. Well, I can't let that go. I'm going to go back and get it. All right? Look at verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, okay, and we know the story here. Let's go down to verse number 27. Verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. Because he was not willing to give up what God asked him to do, because he was afraid of the economic repercussions, okay? You know, as Christians, and I'm guilty of it too, we base too many decisions on our wallet, not on the Bible. Why do we have in America, and you know, praise the Lord, we've got who we have as president now and not who we could have had as president. But why were we limited to the choices that we even had? Because most Christians, I know Christians that do this. They vote based on their wallet, not on the Bible. And isn't it sad that as Christians, you know how God's going to bring America, if God brings America and God gives us a revival, I'm sold on this. We will have to have an economic disaster. We will have to have a Great Depression repeat for America to even consider coming as a whole. I'm not saying regional things can't happen, but as a whole, for America to come back to God, we've got money too much in front of us. Okay? But going back to this, Pharaoh said, I can't let this economic thing get away from me. And so everybody was killed. All right? You know, I'm glad my mom and dad didn't want to hold on to me and didn't want to hold on to us kids to keep us from doing the will of God. If God told them, this is the will of God and this is where your kids are going to go, or this is what your kids are going to do, I'm glad that their dreams weren't so big that they couldn't let us go. Because what would it have eventually cost them if they would have held on to that? Well, we're, you know, back to Jeremiah. Well, we're afraid that if our kids go here, that they're going to experience famine or the trumpet or the sword. So we're going to stay right here. I want to shelter. I'm going to, you know, circle the wagons, and we're going to stay right here. And God said, you know, we're going to go to Egypt because we're afraid of what's going to happen here in the will of God. God said, okay, I'm going to take it from you anyway. I got three things I was just thinking of as I was reviewing this last night, just a little bit. Our family. What are you afraid of that will happen to your family? Well, I'm afraid of where God's will would lead them. I'm afraid of where God's will lead them. So you're holding on to your family. I don't know, it could be your family. I love my kids. But I don't want to love them so much. You know what true love is loving them in wherever they're at in the will of God. Not trying to change the will of God to keep them close to me. It's loving them wherever they are in the will of God. Whether it be in Africa or Afghanistan or wherever, Syria. I think, Brother Chad, how could you? Well, I think if you're in the will of God, those famines and the swords, I think God will protect you in a certain way. Okay? And you heard it over and over, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. We see Abraham and Isaac. What about Abraham and Isaac? Genesis chapter number 22. God asked the one thing from Abraham that he valued above everything else. And he asked that from him. And he said, would you give me your son? And Abraham, he offered his son. But not only did Abraham get to keep his son, but because of his son Isaac, there was a whole, you know, the whole nation of Israel was eventually born. Okay? What about the widow's meal? Think about that. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, you know, God's man came to the widow and he said, you give me that meal. Well, it's everything I've got. It's all I own. Well, you can give me that, or you can die of famine. Because as soon as you cook that meal and eat it, there will be no more. But if you give that to me and if you obey the will of God, you'll have plenty. Think about that. Okay? Anyway, let me go back to my list of things. The family. I'm afraid of what would happen if I don't obey God. Well, I'm afraid. Some people are. Well, I'm afraid of what would happen if I do obey God. I'm kind of past that. I'm afraid of what would happen if I don't obey God. I don't have a fear. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe that's what fear of God is. I don't have a fear of what God has for me to do. I have a fear of what God would take from me if I didn't do what He would have for me to do. You know, and that's where the men of Israel were in Jeremiah. They weren't afraid of God, what God would do to them if they didn't do it. They were afraid of what God had for them in the will of God. All right? Time. Family, I thought of family. What about time? Christians give everything but time. Think about it. Christians give everything but time. Though, you know, tithe is no big deal to most Christians, but time is a big deal. Time is a big deal. Maybe the reason we don't have time to do things is because we refuse to give God the time that He asked for. Well, I don't have any time. I don't have any time. Well, maybe God's asked you for some time to do whatever. Go witness to a neighbor. Go soul winning. Hey, are you involved in the soul winning program here at church? We've got bunches of them. How are you ministering to anybody else? Let me just throw this out there. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm trying to get our teenagers, because I deal with a lot of different spectrums of age groups here in the church. You know, I would love for our senior saints to be able to get acquainted better with our teenagers, because there's a lot of wisdom that you folks have that our teenagers desperately need. Believe me, just trust me on that. And you know what? Wednesday we have teen soul winning, but just because it's called teen soul winning doesn't mean that nobody else can come. I promise you, we're out there. We're doing a teen training hour at 6 o'clock, so we have to be back here at church by 6. We leave at 3:30. The kids take half an hour to eat, okay? Plus drive time. They're barely out there an hour. You know, hey, what would it be? I would love to have some older folks to come help us take these teens out. And I would pair you up. You know what that would be? A good time to invest in a young person. Maybe you're involved in something else, and that's fine. That's great. But maybe God's asking you for, hey, here's some, what are you doing for me? What are you doing for me? Time. You know, maybe God says, you give me some time, or I'll take time from you. Maybe it's your life, as far as time. Wonder if every hour of our life that we gave to God, God give us an extra day. That'd be a pretty good swap, wouldn't it? God, if we give God an hour, He'd give us a day. So that means, you know, if you give God 7 hours, you get an extra week of life. I don't know if that's the way God works, but something to think about. What about our dream? This is big for younger people. Your dream. Sometimes God asks us for a dream. What do you want to do? You know, I ask the young people, what do you want to do with your life? Well, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. But sometimes God will come to you and say, give me that, and you stay here in the center of God's will, and you just let that dream die. Well, I want to go to Egypt to make money. No, you stay right here in the land of Israel. You stay right here in the land of Israel. No, I want to go to Egypt because I'm afraid of economic situations that might appear on the horizon. No, stay in Israel. Stay in Israel, and I'll bless you here. Okay? You know, it's hard for a young person to give up a dream. Something you live for. You know, I dreamed about farming my whole life. That's all I ever wanted to do. And, you know, at some point you gotta say, God, here. And sometimes you gotta give up the dreams that you have for your kids. Well, I want better for my kids. And my dad always told me, I want better for my kids than what we had. And I think that's a natural thing for a parent to do. But don't want that so, you know, wanting better for your kids is not necessarily money. Wanting better for your kids is your kids living in the will of God. The Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children make money. No, he doesn't. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And, you know, there's more important things than the almighty dollar. So giving up a dream, maybe it's a dream you have for your kids. Maybe, you know, for a young person, it would be a dream that they had for themselves. And that's a hard thing for a kid to do. That's huge for a young person, is giving up something that they want in order to have something that maybe they really don't want, but they're just going to trust God that this is the best thing for them. You know, I don't think the men, when they talked to Jeremiah, they said, we'll do anything that you tell us to do. Jeremiah said, you stay right here. We don't want to do that. That's not what we want to do. Pastor, you know, I'm sitting in pastor's office as a 17-year-old young man. I pretty much have the, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to farm, excuse me. I'm going to farm with my dad. I said, Pastor, what should I do? What should I do after I graduate high school? You know, pretty much I already have my whole spiel about, you know, how I'm going to stay here and, you know, work with my dad. Pastor, what should I do after I graduate high school? You need to go to Bible college for a year. But that's not what I want to do, Pastor. I don't want to go to Bible college for a year. I don't want to do that. No, you need to go to Bible college for a year. I wonder what, you know, what would have cost me if I decided not. Now, is that God's will for everybody? No. I'd say 90%, it's probably a good thing. There's a lot. Bro, Chad, what did you learn from the Bible in Bible college? Nothing. Nothing. But what did you learn about life in Bible college? A lot. A lot. It's a sheltered place that you, anyway, you're not, nobody's going here to go in Bible college, so I'm not promoting Bible college, but I'm talking about the will of God. I didn't want to go. I'm Greene County. I didn't want to go to Lexington, Kentucky. People drive like maniacs. They started adopting European road patterns. I mean, who's heard of a double weave? I mean, you go into the other lane and come back. What is that? You know? Anyway, we're starting to do it here, if you notice, up on the north side of Terre Haute. Anyway, but the will of God. I didn't want to do the will of God. But, you know, I never would have met my wife. I wouldn't have the kids I got. I wouldn't have the friendships that I have. I wouldn't have the experiences that I had. It was better. It was better. So our family, our time, our dream. Think about all those illustrations. Pharaoh and Israel, Abraham and Isaac, the widow's meal. Matthew chapter 4, and this will be the last thing. I want to show you this. I've really been captivated by this thought, and I know it's really not a thought. Oh, it is a thought. And it might take some developing at some point. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So he comes to two young men that are working for their father, okay? And he says in verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So then begins a long discourse on, okay, we'll follow you, but how are we going to pay for our families? Because Peter had a family. The Bible says he had a wife anyway. I don't know about kids, but he had a wife, okay? So how are we going to provide for our families? What about our father? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to lose two of his helpers. And so this big discourse happens right here, right? No. Bible says, verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. No discussion about salary. No discussion about, you know, the future economic situations. Well, God, what about the sword? What about you know, if you're supposed to be the Messiah, the King, you know, where's your army at? Where are we going to eat? You don't see them asking any of those questions, do you? I don't see it. But the Bible says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. You know, I think in the will of God is provision for everything. I believe that. If you're in the will of God, there is provision for everything that you need. But you know, these four boys, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left a whole career to go follow God. No promises of any salary. In fact, Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't even have a home. But you follow me and I'll make you, all they followed was a promise. I'll make you fishers of men. You know, sometimes the will of God does take faith. The will of God takes believing in something that you can't see. And that's hard to do, trust me. I'm still figuring this out. Because I don't do the will of God every day for my life. You don't either. I don't do the will of God every day for my life. And most of it is because I'm worried about, I don't have the faith, oh me of little faith, I don't have the faith to trust God the way I should trust God, that he'll take care of every little detail for me. And I want to, it's something I'm just, I'm working on, I guess. You know, if God came to you and said, would you follow me, would you immediately, that's what got me, they immediately, they let it go. But the men in Jeremiah, they said, no, whoa. We don't want this. We're going to go over here where we can see that there's going to be some benefits to living in the land of Egypt. And God said, yeah, you go over there. Go ahead, go. Go to Egypt. But the Egyptians will curse you because of all the evil that you're bringing with you. The curse. So something to think about, something to meditate on this week. Living in the will of God. Not always pleasant, but always the best. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. God, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, sometimes I struggle doing exactly what you want me to do, and I pray that you'd help me to trust you fully and to lean fully on your word. Lord, thank you for these good folks. I pray that you just help us to trust in your will and to obey the man of God wherever he, when he's led by the Spirit, Lord, to do what he advises us to do. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.